You are listening to the man who invented podcasting. It says so on his resume. Right above champion race car driver and fought Godzilla and won. Okay. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I told you who I was. Who the hell are you? Well, here we are again on a Friday, Monday, whatever. What is it? Tuesday? Oh, great. I got that wrong. You know, the problem with these days of the week, they always end with the word day. You know, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It confuses me. They all sound the same. It seems like only last week it was Tuesday. Oh, my. Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to entertain the hell out of you right now. You will be entertained until your head spins. I don't know if head spinning is a wonderful thing. I don't think it's an Olympic sport. You got a gold medal in head spinning. I don't even know what that is. I will not only make your head spin, I will knock your socks off. I do a lot of things to people. An interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. But until then, I'm going to talk. What else am I supposed to do? I'm not going to do my pantomime act. That would be ridiculous. I used to do pantomime. Oh my God. In junior high school. I always wanted to be on stage when I was in junior high school. And I ended up doing that in my life, so I guess I'm fulfilled in a strange, odd way. But what I did was, in junior high school, I was too shy to say anything or be in a school play because I couldn't remember the lines. I don't think I'm losing my memory. I think I never had it, which is comforting in a sense. But I was always paranoid that I would forget my lines. So what I did was pantomime. I'd come out on stage and I would pull on a rope and make believe I couldn't get out of a box. And I did things a little more graduated, like I made believe I was eating something. I was a tremendous talent. And I would dress in black clothing and I would come out and do my shtick. And everybody seemed to like it, and I got the adulation, but I didn't have to talk. And I think that is the goal in life. And then I turned into a talk show host where I have to talk off the top of my head almost every single day for an exorbitant amount of time. So it came back at me. Anyway, welcome to the program. I don't even know what to say to you anymore. You're just really bugging the hell out of me these days. I did almost a whole show on this topic yesterday, so I'm not going to elaborate, but I am so pissed off at people that aren't getting the vaccine. We're trying to reach herd immunity here, which means the coronavirus completely goes away, has no chance to mutate anymore because there's no place to mutate in this country anymore. So as we celebrate Memorial Day this weekend, where we honor those people that fought for our freedom, you're getting it wrong. Freedom doesn't mean that you don't get vaccinated, you don't care about anybody else. That's not freedom. Freedom is everybody's freedom. The freedom to walk around this country again without having to wear a mask or be concerned about that stuff anymore, to make it all go away. We're honoring people that served our country for the good of all of us. That's the ticket, ladies and gentlemen. So get vaccinated for the good of all of us so we reach herd immunity and get rid of this stupid thing. The only people that shouldn't be getting vaccines are people who have autoimmune problems where medically it is not safe for them to introduce anything into their body, which is a daily problem that they have. Those people are exempt. If you're not getting it because, well, I don't have to because it's a free country, or I'm scared I'm going to get a little bit sick for a day. Oh, God. Those people annoy me. I'm sorry, but you annoy me. It's just my opinion. Stay away from me. If you didn't get the vaccine, go do something. Get away from me. Okay, that's it. Thanks very much. Have a good day. Oh, it's not over yet? Oh, my God, there's more to do. As I sit here and suffer from allergies, as more than 50%, I don't know if that's an exact, I made that up, more than 50% of adults, especially in this country, and probably children too, suffer from some type of allergies on a regular basis. Pollen, tree pollen, grass pollen are the most standard allergies. And we almost, anybody who doesn't have allergies this time of year, what's wrong with you? How come you don't have them? Get with the program. Get some allergies. Stick your face in the grass or in a tree and let's start sniveling. Let's start sneezing. Come on, get with it. You're not normal. Little superhuman people, you. I hate the damn summer. I'm sorry. When there's so many people running around just like sun worshiping, going to the beach and roasting themselves like a chicken, that's great. I'm telling you, when you're a senior, you can spend most of your time in a surgical office getting your skin cancer removed or worse, because that'll come back at you. But whatever, your choice. Once again, your choice. I don't like the summer. I don't like the summer at all. And here's why. The sun. It is the lifeblood of whatever. But the sun can also do great damage to your body, to your skin. Bathing in it is like overkill. Why don't you just get on an airplane and take a trip to the sun and vacation there? Make it a vacation spot. Not as popular as Virginia Beach, but many of you love the sun. You're sun worshipers. Go worship your sun. Sun kills. Heat kills. So I don't like the summer because the sun is prominent and it's really not good for you. If it were good for you, they wouldn't tell you to lather yourself in suntan oil and don't look at the damn sun, the very thing that you worship, and wear sunglasses, otherwise you're going to damage your eyes. That's the beauty of the sun. So I'm not into that. Also, it's too freaking damn hot. Who are you trying to kid? Those of you that just love the warmth, we're not on the same page. We're in totally different books. I don't like to sweat. I don't mind the winter because I can always put more clothes on. I can wrap myself in blankets and myself. I can wrap myself in a blanket. I can always put more clothes on, that kind of thing. I can, build a fire, which I don't do because I'm too modern for that. But in the summer, what are you going to do? Shed your skin like a snake? What do? You can't take more clothes off. You're down in your skin. Now it's 90, 100 degrees outside. You're just going to sweat profusely. You're going to stink. You're going to be oily and dirty and gritty. It's not pretty, man. That's the summer. Can't do anything about it. Also, the freaking bugs. They all come out in droves, every single one of them. Bees and flies and beetles and sequoia, sequena, whatever those things are that lie dormant for 17 years to expose themselves and kill you. Bagworms, worms, birds shitting on your head, on the ground, on your driveway. It's just the summer is just bugs. Those little gnatty things that seem to follow you in droves of thousands. Wasps. Mosquitoes, man. Mosquitoes that carry diseases and can kill you and your pets and Toto, too. The summer? Yuck. Yuck. I'm battling nature more than usual. The summer. Give me a break. Everybody's outside making noise, yelling, screaming. With no compassion toward others, every person out for themselves, standing outside, getting drunk, inebriated, and then getting in their cars, shouting. People are just, why do they make people like this? Summer, not for me, I'm sorry now. Everybody outside going to the same place, apparently. Everybody's going to the same place. No matter where you're going, everybody else is going there too. No matter what it is. I have a secluded cabin up in New Hampshire. Really? Yes. How many other people have secluded cabins? Oh, about a couple of million. We're all secluded up there together. Oh, God. Summer, you can go boating and kayaking and drown if you'd like to in your pool. You can do that. Go hiking. Yeah. Walk until you sweat even more. I don't like the summer. It's hot. Forest fires. Hurricanes destroying homes and villages. Tornadoes ripping through civilization, causing death and destruction, wiping out people's pasts and possible futures. Ah, the summer. I don't like it. I'm not into it, man. I don't know. Nope. People go camping. Let's go outside where the bugs are and where it's really hot and sweaty and disgusting. And let's lie in it. No. I will find a hotel room with great efficient air conditioning, where it's hermetically sealed from the outside. That's what I prefer in the hot summer months. I don't know. I'm not into it, man. Just not into it. This summer. Who came up with that? Oh, man. The summer is when people, other human beings, all pour into the streets. I don't want them there. Go back to where you came from. Go to your little houses or apartments and do your thing. Don't come outside where I can see you doing what you're doing. Ooh, I don't want to look at that. More cars on the road. Oh, that's fun. More traffic. That's a good time. Air conditioning bills. Holy crap. I thought that the winter was bad with the heating bills. Try air conditioning bills. Whoa! Through the roof. The summer is not a cheap time. And if you don't have air conditioning, you're getting off cheap. Fans. Oh, fans. Wonderful. People love fans. Yeah, it just blows the hot air around. You ever go to Arizona or the desert in the summer? Yeah, it's 120 degrees outside in the shade, but it's a dry heat. What are you, baked? Apparently you are. A dry heat, 120 degrees? Are you kidding me? Why don't you stick your head in the oven? It's a dry heat in there, too. Ain't no humidity in the oven. Go stick your head in and close the door, if that's physically possible. Anyway, all right, You don't want to hear me complain for the rest of the show, do you? Unless you find this somehow entertaining. Unless you find my suffering entertaining in some regard, which I guess many of you probably do. Well, anyway, our guest is going to be joining us momentarily. For those of you that live life in the fast lane, you know that expression, living life in the fast lane? For those of you that do that and don't listen to anybody else's opinions or don't let anybody else lead your life, for those of you, there is the horoscope who depend on other unworldly things to chart what you do during the day. Here's your horoscope.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, if your life seems like it's going nowhere this month, take heart in knowing that you are absolutely correct. That counts for something. Pisces, they say it's very rare for people to get attacked by wild bears in the city, but you are about to prove them wrong. Aries, this month your lucky number is 3, if you know what I mean. Taurus, you know that list of hopes and dreams you've secretly been keeping? Might want to change the title to Bucket List and get going on it. Gemini, the delivery boy is going to add a little something extra to the next pizza you order. Perhaps it's time to reconsider the whole no tipping the delivery boy thing? Cancer, don't put off your big plans just because it looks like someone else beat you to it. There's definitely room for 2 transgendered Caitlins in the world. Leo, a mysterious stranger will approach you with an intriguing proposition soon. The stars are a little unclear, so it's 50-50 that it might be a mugging. Virgo, put the sadness of the past behind you and get back out there in the world. This time, though, put on some pants first, and you're still not allowed near schools. Libra, pursue your dreams no matter what other people say. If you ask me, the world could probably use more whale gynecologists. Scorpio, not looking like a great month for you. The job situation is iffy, the romance will probably come to an end, finances are rocky, but look on the bright side. When and if it eventually shows up. Good luck. Sagittarius, a little more fiber in the diet wouldn't hurt, Capricorn, nobody likes Mondays, of course, but for you, this Tuesday is like, whew, wow, the stars are like cringing and talking about how to express their condolences. I'd say stay inside, but probably not gonna make a difference. I'm Kip Starchild, and that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
My guest joins us right after this.
You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the party boy of podcasting.
I can talk about various topics, and people will literally fall asleep.
Well, no one said it was going to be a good party, but you're here. So put on the damn hat, get yourself a drink, let's get started. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Julie Willis joins us now. She's written a book called Conceal, Reveal, The Space Between Entrepreneurs and the Defense Industry. It's an interesting book because it brings up concerns and topics that we kind of know about in the back of our minds, but we don't really talk about them. This is you have an interesting insight because I understand that your spouse was in the military for quite some time, and you endured quite a bit of headaches accordingly.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Yes, ex-spouse, in fact, and he is still serving, I believe.
Oh.
So he's still enjoying his own share, I'm sure. But yeah, it was an interesting perspective to take on. Yeah, really ingratiated me to the community, and I understand it from the perspective of being on the other side of the door.
Yeah,
when you have a deployed spouse or family member, and scary, frightening. Yeah.
Are we not supposed to know about a lot of things that go on behind the scenes as far as the defense industry is being a business, what they allow and what they turn their backs on?
Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to know.
No.
And what the beginning of the book really is when I find out a lot of that stuff. And I had been a contractor with the Army for a while. At the newest 4-star command to set up down there in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
And so I had this, talk about perspective, bird's eye view of Austin from, this glowing tower of glass building to see that community, which I'm sure, everybody in Boston understands. You've got Lincoln Labs and got a lot of technology also for the defense industry happening. And it was, we were the 600-pound gorilla, and we were the prettiest girl at the prom at the same time.
Yeah.
So everybody wanted a piece of the Army action happening in downtown Austin.
Yeah. The defense of our country is a business, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes, and it always does rather well because they make it do rather well, whether it is or not. I know that one of your concerns was also the actual effectiveness of the money that's put into it as far as what you get as a product. I think in the back of our minds, we always feel that we always have all the technology and the most up-to-date systems, but then we also know that we kind of also probably don't. Where do you think it falls?
It's a really uncomfortable position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Our threats, business or not, we do have threats.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia and China are doing a better job of knowing what our defense technology startups are creating than our own government.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. See, here's a dilemma, to be honest with you, to have a conversation. We're a democracy. The other two that you mentioned aren't. So they can get anything they want done at their command, whether anybody likes it or not, do it. This country, kind of that doesn't work that way. First, you have to talk about it and you have to bargain about it. So things are being done behind the scenes that we don't even know about, but not efficiently. Is that an accurate statement that I made?
I believe so.
I mean, the efficiency,
back to you're right. I mean, a lot of the time when it comes to funding of these new technologies and startups is, it's not written into the National Defense Authorization Act,
right,
which the big industry folks, put a lot of lobbying money behind getting their items in there. So the little guy then is going after this little set aside on the pie, which is like small business innovation research money. They call them grants, but they're really contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them, they're fighting over this smaller piece. But the way that they have to fight is pay to play.
Yeah.
It is 100% corruption. And it's, what a journey we've been on in the last few years where we talk more and more about corruption in this country and we talk more and more about Russia and China in this country. And boy, unfortunately, found another opportunity with them to collide.
Yeah.
And so in writing the book, it was unsettling because it was my journey in finding these things out. It wasn't like I got the opportunity to go to the Library of Congress and sit down and look at books and say things. Nope, this is me.
Yeah.
This is me.
It's kind of sad in a way because I think in life you end up with the realization the older you get that corruption is corruption. That's how things work, and it's all over, and have a good day. I mean, it's kind of the bottom line, isn't it? I mean, I know we fight, you know, we try to fight to correct it, but you can't fight what's hidden behind a wall.
That's true. And let's go all the way back to the beginning of this conversation about being a spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what makes it different.
Yeah.
Is that piece. And I certainly don't speak for that community. You know, I am divorced of like 10 years,
right.
But you know, that'll shape you. Mm. And when it comes, you know, it's not like they're buying, you know, expensive hammers and the things in the past. Like, this is stuff that will make or break the next conflicts and competition.
Yeah.
And to know that we're not doing it the way that we really all think that we are is unsettling, and it's going to cost lives. Like, we're fighting our lives.
Julie, if there are appropriations toward all this research and the people in our military and researchers are so incredibly intelligent, the best minds in the world, where is all the money actually going? Is there no money appropriated, or is there indeed money, but it's not going to the right place?
There is money. Mm. There is money.
Yeah.
To get it, though, there's this new cottage industry that has popped up that's doing the consulting side. And so you pay them money, and they get you a memo. And the memo says, it's a signed memo from the inside. And so if you're on the outside, how on earth do you get someone, you know, from inside, not only the bureaucracy, but we're talking about folks on military bases or in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And so you've got, like, armed guards outside. You've got, you know, like, ID cards and all of this stuff. And how on earth do you find them to get someone to say, you know, if you actually made that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We'd buy it.
Yeah.
Hmm. And so you pay a guy who used to be on the inside who's still got buddies.
Yeah.
It's frightening on the outside to look at it in that way, but that is how it's done.
Yeah. And isn't that, in a sense, business? I mean, isn't that our definition of business in this country? I'm sorry to say that, but it's like poster child stuff. Yeah. All right.
But we really try hard for that not to be national defense.
And right. That's probably not the best place for it.
Yeah.
All right.
Different bar.
Yeah. I know you've gotten some interesting feedback on this book. And it's impressive. So, I mean, most of it is, you know what you're talking about, and now we understand.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was
interesting to write.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I ate my way through doing it. There was a lot of fear and stress of, you know, calling out this industry that I love and support, and knowing that there are problems that just need to be said, and I was the guy with the least to lose.
Yeah.
So why not say it?
Well, good. I'm glad you did it. It's interesting. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the people who criticize don't love their country or don't love things, but it's the opposite. People who criticize do it because they love it. That's why they do it. They're trying to make it more lovable and keep the love. So yeah,
aren't we lucky that we can do that too?
Yeah. The book's available everywhere, I would assume.
Amazon is the most likely place to find it.
Yes.
For sure.
It's the most likely place to find everything, I assume. you can buy pants and books and everything on Amazon.
That's where I was before I called you. So, yeah.
Okay. How would people follow this person, Julie Willis?
LinkedIn, actually, is my best story.
Cool.
Yes. Wonderful. Julie Willis, Defiant Communication, is the company.
Great.
That I created.
Perfect.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, check it out. It is an interesting book, and it's a good read, and we do recommend it. Julie, it's been a pleasure meeting you, and we look forward to your next writing. I assume you have something else. Do you have something else in the works?
People say that.
Well, they should.
No.
Oh.
No. I don't know if I can afford to gain that much weight again, honestly. Like, I have to figure out a different way to do it.
She's exhausted. She needs some rest. Leave her alone. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. Pleasure. Take care. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Interesting stuff. That'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until that time, I wish you peace.